Chapter 25. Being away from Derby and living a different life, I was able to stand back and assess certain things objectively. I asked myself many questions. Why, for instance, was my partnership with Siegfried so successful? Even now, as we still jog along happily after 35 years, I wonder about it. I know I liked him instinctively when I first saw him in the garden at Skeldale House on that very first afternoon, but I feel there is another reason why we get on together. Maybe it is because we are opposites. Siegfried's restless energy impels him constantly to try to alter things, while I abhor change of any kind. A lot of people would call him brilliant, while not even my best friends would apply that description to me. His mind relentlessly churns out ideas of all grades, excellent, doubtful, and very strange indeed. I, on the other hand, rarely have an idea of any sort. He likes hunting, shooting, and fishing. I prefer football, cricket, and tennis. I could go on and on. We are even opposite physical types. And yet, as I say, we get along. This, of course, doesn't mean that we have never had our differences. Over the years, there have been minor clashes on various points. One, I recall, was over the plastic calcium injectors. They were something new, so Siegfried liked them, and by the same token, I regarded them with deep suspicion. My doubts were nourished by my difficulties with them. Their early troubles have now been ironed out, but at the beginning I found the thing so temperamental that I abandoned them. My colleague pulled me up about it when he saw me washing out my flutter valve by running the surgery tap through it. "For God's sake, James, you're not still using that old thing, are you?" "Yes, I'm afraid I am." "But haven't you tried the new plastics?"
"I have."
"Well?"
"Can't get away with them, Siegfried."
"Can't? What on earth do you mean?"
I trickled the last drop of water through the tube, rolled it small, and slipped it into its case.
"Well, the last time I used one, the calcium squirted all over the place, and it's messy, sticky stuff. I have great white streaks down my coat, but James!"
He laughed incredulously.
"That's crazy! They're childishly simple to use. I haven't had the slightest trouble."
"I believe you," I said, "but you know me, I haven't got a mechanical mind."
"For heaven's sake, you don't need a mechanical mind. They're foolproof."
"Not to me, they aren't. I've had enough of them." My colleague put his hand on my shoulder, and his patient look began to creep across his face.
"James, James, you must persevere."
He raised a finger.
"There is another point at issue here, you know."
"What's that?"
"The matter of asepsis. How do you know that length of rubber you have there is clean?"
"Well, I wash it through after use, I use a boiled needle, and..."
"But don't you see, my boy, you're only trying to achieve what already exists in the plastic pack. Each one is self-contained and sterilized." "Oh, I know all about that, but what's the good of it if I can't get the stuff into the cow?"
I said, querulously.
"Oh, piffle, James!"
Siegfried assumed a grave expression. "It only needs a little application on your part, and I must stress that you are behaving in a reactionary manner by being stubborn.
I put it to you seriously that we have to move with the times, and every time you use that antiquated outfit of yours, it is a retrograde step."
We stood, as we often did, eyeball to eyeball, in mutual disagreement, till he smiled suddenly.
"Look, you're going out now, aren't you, to see that milk fever cow I treated at John Tillett's. I understand it's not up yet."
"Well, that's right."
"Well, as a favour to me, will you give one of the new packs a try?"
I thought for a moment.
"All right, Siegfried, I'll have one more go."
When I reached the farm, I found the cow comfortably ensconced in a field in the middle of a rolling yellow ocean of buttercups.
"She's had a few tries to get on her feet," the farmer said, "but she can't quite make it. Probably just wants another shot."
I went to my car, which I had driven, rocking and bumping over the rig and furrow of the field, and took one of the plastic packs from the boot. Mr. Tillett raised his eyebrows when he saw me coming back.
"Is that one of them new things?"
"Yes, it is, Mr. Tillett. The very latest invention. All completely sterilized."
"I don't care what it is. I don't like it."
"You don't?"
"No."
"Well, why not?"
"I'll tell you.
Mr. Farnan used one this morning. Some of the stuff went in me eye. Some went in his ear hole, and the rest went down his trousers. I don't think bloody cow got any.
There was another time Siegfried had to take me to task. An old age pensioner was leading a small mongrel dog along the passage on the end of a piece of string. I patted the consulting room table. Put him up here, will you? I said. The old man bent over slowly, groaning and puffing. Wait a minute. I tapped his shoulder. Let me do it. I hoisted the little animal onto the smooth surface.
Oh, thank you, sir.
The man straightened up and rubbed his back and leg.
I have arthritis bad and I'm not much good at lifting. My name's Bailey. I live in council houses.
Right, Mr. Bailey. What's the trouble?
Well, it's his cough. He's allers at it. And he kind of retches at tend of it.
I see. How old is he?
He were 10 last month.
Yes. I took the temperature and carefully auscultated the chest. As I moved the stethoscope over the ribs, Siegfried came in and began to rummage in the cupboard.
It's a chronic bronchitis, Mr. Bailey. I said, many older dogs suffer from it, just like old folks.
He laughed.
Aye, I'm a bit wheezy myself sometimes.
That's right. But you're not so bad, really, are you?
No, no.
Well, neither is your little dog. I'm going to give him an injection and a course of tablets, and it will help him quite a bit. I'm afraid he'll never quite get rid of his cough, but bring him in again if it gets very bad.
He nodded vigorously.
Very good, sir. Thank you kindly, sir.
As Siegfried banged about in the cupboard, I gave the injection and counted out 20 of the new M&B 693 tablets. The old man gazed at them with interest, then put them in his pocket.
Now, what do I owe you, Mr. Harriet?
I looked at the ragged tie knotted carefully over the frayed shirt collar, at the threadbare antiquity of the jacket. His trouser knees had been darned, but on one side I caught a pink glimpse of the flesh through the material.
No, that's all right, Mr. Bailey. Just see how he goes on.
Eh?
There's no charge.
But...
Now, don't worry about it. It's nothing, really. Just see he gets his tablets regularly.
I will, sir. It's very kind of you. I never expected...
I know you didn't, Mr. Bailey. Goodbye for now, and bring him back if he's not a lot better in a few days.